Our Father, we thank you for bringing us together around your word. We pray that you would help us to understand these things that we study, that they would challenge and motivate us to live by faith in our own lives and to spend more time in fellowship with you and with one another. We thank you, Father, and pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So we finished up last hour talking about how Jesus was 100% committed in faith to God's, the Father's plan, power, provision, promises, process. Now we have to come down to ourselves. How committed are we to living in faith with regard to those six P's? Do we have faith in His plan? That it is the perfect plan, that He knows what He's doing. Do we have faith in His power, that He has the power to bring about His plan in our lives? The power to take us through the trials, to take us out of them. Do we have faith in His provisions while we're undergoing everything we have to experience in our lives? Are we operating in fear because of bills that come up? Because we're told that we have to move. I know Faith and I have been through that. We were given 60 days and we had no prospects. The housing market had skyrocketed all of a sudden. We didn't know what to do. And we had to operate in faith that God would provide the right place at the right time. And He held this place for us. And we got that place the last week of that 6 week time, or 60 day time. And it's been a great place. We've been there for what, almost 6 years now? Do we have faith in the Father's protection, that He's going to protect us no matter what we experience in our lives, no matter what we're going through? He's going to protect us so that we can proceed in our forward momentum in service to God, in developing and growing in our new nature. Do we have faith in His promises? All of the things that He has told us that He would do for us. And lastly, do we have faith in the process that He has determined is necessary to bring about His will in our lives? Do we believe that the Father is moving us along in His plan, even if we don't understand the ways that He's doing it? Can we see that the need for faith and His word is critical in all of this? We've got to see the parallel between what we saw in Christ's life and what we as His sheep must do in ours. He was the shepherd. As the sheep, we must follow our shepherd. Shouldn't we have faith in the Father as the Son did? Why don't we have faith in His plan sometimes? Is it that we're afraid because so much of it's outside of the realm of our control? Are we buying into the illusion that we have control in our lives? It's an illusion. Our lives are in the Lord's hands. We shouldn't be focusing on our own control of our lives, but letting go and letting the Father control the things that happen. Now, what about Ephesians 1:11? In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. Here we see that we have been chosen by him. We didn't choose him. He chose us. And Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 1:9 that God saved us according to his grace. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything that we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. So before time ever began, Christ knew and chose each individual who he had a purpose for blessing. We see that we were predestined to this election and salvation according to the plan of God. That God works out everything in conformity to the purpose of his will. Are our lives then out of control? We may feel like they are, but to us, even if they seem like it, it's not out of God's control. He is in control of everything in our lives so that it will be in conformity to his will for our lives. And from this position, we can not only begin to apply 1 Thessalonians 5:18, which tells us, well, we'll go ahead and start in 16. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. If we believe that God has saved us by his grace, through faith in Jesus Christ, that God has a plan for our lives, and that God is in control of all things, that he works out everything in our life for our ultimate benefit, Romans 8:28, that it's in conformity to what his will is for our lives, can we begin to start thinking of him and thanking him for all things? The things that we're going through that are unpleasant, the pains and aches that we have, the trials and tribulations, they're from the hand of God to, as we were talking about last hour, to help us develop in the ways that he wants us to develop, to strengthen us in ways that we don't even understand. But we have to trust him. We have to acknowledge the fact that he knows better than we do. This is where we really start having faith in the Father, faith in his will for our lives, as the Lord did. Remember that the Father is working according to his plan, not our plan. One might thank God mechanically for all of the things in their lives, their circumstances. Or you can thank God because he really sees and believes that the Father is in control of all of these things, orchestrating them, setting them up in such a way that it comes to his conclusion, his ultimate predetermined goal. His goal of bringing every believer to completion of faith and maturity. Faith in the Father means that one has confidence in the Father not to put you or allow you to be put in situations without sufficient grace provisions to handle it. He's promised to do so. It means that you have confidence in the Father's perfect plan, power, provision, protection, process, and promises. You have faith that he loves you, that his intentions towards you are absolutely good, and that He has a wonderful future in store for each and every one of us. Not just in eternity, but in this temporal life as well. If we still draw breath, He has got an amazing future for us, even in this life. It goes back to not what we're doing or what we're wanting or striving for, but what God has done, what God has decided. For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. Ephesians 1, 4 through 5, He predestined us for the adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will. All of the circumstances in our life, God has control over them. And they're designed to do this. Faith in the Father is developed in the area of confidence in regards to His intentions towards us. They're brought out in the fact that in love, He predestined us to be adopted as sons through Jesus Christ and in accordance with His pleasure. Now, Christ showed us the way that He wants us to follow. He showed us the results of what happens when we do follow Him. He showed us how perfect and good the Father's plan was and how perfect His provisions were for every circumstance. He showed us how mighty the Father's power was to protect and provide, as well as how the soul was sustained and strengthened, how the soul survived and matured as one applies the concept of faith in the Father and His Word. Now we're going to move on to the section of faith, towards the priesthood function. So not so much in our circles, but one that's often overlooked among many churches is the fact that Christians are priests of God. 1 Peter 2:9 reads, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light." And faith in regards to this concept believes that this is actually true, that it's an effective function in our spiritual life. That is to say that God wants us to function as priests. And when we do function in our individual priesthoods, we have tremendous impact in our lives, in the lives of other believers, in the lives and operations of this world that we live in. I don't know whether we've thought about it much, but God saved us. When God saved us, He could have left us as just pardoned subjects. People that were saved from their sins, and just that alone. But He didn't leave it there. He adopted us. And not only adopted us as His own children, He also made us priests and kings. This is so much deeper and broader than anything we could have imagined. In the Old Testament, He set up a priesthood in the tribe of Levi. You had to be of the tribe of Levi, you had to be a male, so you couldn't be female, you couldn't have any blemishes or defects or flaws to you physically. Like, there were a lot of things that would preclude you from being a priest. That may well have been one of them. He went way beyond just being pardoned subjects. Now we, as Christ was the high priest in the order of Melchizedek, we studied that out in the past. This shows that this is a perfect pattern for us, because under the priesthood of Melchizedek, there were not these generalized requirements. It was based on an ordinance of God. So all of these boxes that had to be checked to be a priest in the order of Levi, those weren't there concerning Melchizedek. God wanted us to be priests, but if it was based on the Old Testament concept, most of us would be excluded from that process. Wrong sex, wrong race, wrong birth, defects, ugly. This would have barred us from any access to the Levitical priesthood. But God wanted us to be priests. Not just children, not just subjects, but priests and the bride of his son. So he had to have a priesthood where these things were not a factor. And that could, those factors would have prevented us from admission into the order. So the order of Melchizedek was perfect for this because it had no such requirements for admission. Admission to it was strictly by appointment only, and the Father is the one who does the appointing. When we say that functioning in our priesthood is an effective function, we say it really works, that it has impact on our lives, other people's lives, our society. A priest represents or acts on the behalf of himself to God. He also represents others to God, and he represents God to other people. He enjoys the status of being closer to God than the rest of the average people in society. He offers up gifts and sacrifices. He worships and conducts worship and speaks directly to God in prayer. One of the areas that we have tremendous impact is in representing others before God. And this is our prayer life, especially when we're praying for other believers. We talk to people out and about in society, you know, as we're going through about our business, people that are struggling with various ailments or difficulties in their lives. We should offer to pray for them. We know that each believer has the privilege and responsibility of representing themselves before the Lord. But so many of us fail to do this. It's either because of ignorance or their own immaturity, maybe involvement in the world system. Maybe their flesh nature has gotten the best of them and they're caught up in fleshly activities. Or maybe it's rebellion against the Lord and negative volition towards Bible doctrine. So on and so forth. Now, objectively, we could say that their own misery has been brought about by themselves. And due to their wrong choices and disobedience, maybe they made their own bed so they should sleep in it. But that's not how we should be approaching this. Our hearts should be moved to compassion, love, mercy. Or because maybe they're close to us and have a direct impact on our own lives. We're moved to represent them before God in prayer. As we priests are now performing in an area that they should be performing in their own lives, but they're not, and due to these various things that might be impeding them. So we need to take up their situation before the Lord, functioning as priests and praying along doctrinal lines. Sometimes we get so beat down that we can't even pray anymore. I mean, it's probably happened to each and every one of us at some time. Now, faith in your priesthood means that you have the confidence that when you pray and function as a priest, which of course also entails doling out doctrinal or divine viewpoint, that it really does have an effect. You know that God has made you a priest, not to have a meaningless title, but to function in your priesthood with dynamic results, to have tremendous spiritual impact in your own life, your family's life, your home, society, and impact on your friends, neighbors, relatives, all to the glory of God and spreading of His will and reign on earth. It's not to be operated in out of anger, but out of love. The Apostle John wrote in Revelation 5:10, "You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on earth." And the Apostle Peter wrote, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a priesthood of kings, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light." That was 1 Peter 2:9 up here. So we are priests. God has made us to be priests. And we will have tremendous spiritual impact if we function in our priesthood. Our priesthood stays with us all throughout our lives and will be there with us all throughout eternity. It cannot and will not be taken away from us. No one can stop us from functioning in our priesthood. Satan can't stop us. Other people of the world can't stop us. They've tried over there in Europe, in Britain. Woman was arrested for silently praying outside of an abortion clinic. An abortion clinic. Praying for the girls and the babies that and all of that. She was arrested. But guess what? They can't stop her from praying. Even if she's in jail, she could still be praying for them, interceding. There's no stopping our priesthood. Thought. Yeah. The thought police. Yeah. They don't have that over there. So one may not play a major role in society, may not even play a major role in their own local church, but they can still play a major role in their priesthood function. They just need to see and believe and act upon it. Some people crave to be in the limelight, to be the center of everyone's attention. Others want to be the head of some political or religious movement. But there's an invisible area that's only seen by God that all Christians are to be actively functioning in, and that, again, is this area of our priesthood. The church in America has gotten off track. The emphasis has become being an instrument of change in society, or money, or politics, TV. They use all kinds of concepts of crowd control to try to build up their numbers rather than emphasizing this concept of the spiritual impact that believers have in their priesthood. A priest has an access to God different from all of the rest of society. So he can pray and put his request before God, and then God, who he's made his request to, makes it come to be. Instead of the believer going out in his own strength and his own efforts trying to bring about some end goal, he goes to God in prayer, in his priesthood, and brings those requests to God and lets them come to be based on God's will and God's power. The believer needs to have faith before God, and the faith that his standing as a priest is not without notice and importance. And God has appointed each of us to that position, so that when we as believers function in this capacity, in the area of prayers, that God takes special notice of the things that we have requested and he grants them. Our priesthood is a spiritual access to God made possible by Christ as the high priest. So what is it that we want to pray for? What is it that others need prayer for? Somebody struggling with money, pray about it. Go to God as the priest. Somebody not have an education and want an education. Priesthood function, pray to God about it. Don't have a position in a church. People don't listen to you. Don't follow your advice, even when it's biblical. You say, they don't even know who I am. It's unimportant. Doesn't matter whether people know who you are, because God knows who you are. And God has made you one of his priests. And you and I have access to him. And with all of these people who are trying to do things by their own means and their own power, one lone believer can do so much more by quietly and privately going to God in prayer in his or her priesthood. And the believer king priest needs to know that and be confident of it, so that he can boldly approach the throne of grace for that grace and mercy, not only for themselves, but for those that need our prayers as well. But for those that we're interceding for, they're the recipients of that faithful priesthood. And we may look around and see people that we might think are a lost cause. We might say they'll never straighten out their lives, or they don't deserve it. And that's absolutely quite true. None of us deserve it. None of us deserve God's grace, his mercy. And that's the beauty of grace and mercy, is that none of us deserve it. The priesthood of the brotherhood has been designed by God to have great impact in this life here on earth as well as eternity, to have great impact against the devil and his kingdom, but only if we use it. And to use it, we have to see that we have it. We have to believe it, and we have to act upon it. And that's why we have to have faith concerning our priesthood and be functioning in it. We have to be able to say to ourselves, I am a believer and I am a priest, for God has made me his priest. And so I'm to function as a priest, not only representing myself before God in my prayers, but others as well, who for whatever reason are not representing themselves before God. We saw that with Job, that he went before God sacrificing on behalf of his children because he was pretty sure they were sinning. So he was operating in his priesthood towards his family. Next Sunday, we'll get into faith in tribulation, apostasy, and national judgment. That should be fun. Let's go ahead and bow for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for introducing us into your family, adopting us as children, making us priests and kings forever. We pray that you would remind us each day to operate in our own priesthood, bringing requests before you, praying for others, and encouraging one another with your word. We pray, Father, that you would bless us this week, make it a week of joy, of peace, and of closeness to you in fellowship. And we just thank you, Father, and pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.